Good morning. Well, once again, we are grateful for allowing us to be here to spend a day with you. And thank you for your faithfulness and supporting us over the years as we serve the Lord together. I wonder if we would turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the believers to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And we can also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we read a few verses from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. Now I say this, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then chapter 3, please, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And this talked about the divisions that the Corinthian church experienced. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? Chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 12. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren. But he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. And the book of Titus, chapter 3, and verse 13. 2 Timothy, Titus, chapter 3, and verse 13. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on our journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. Now you can sense where we are going. There are certain people that are well known in the scripture, but Apollos was one of them that, as we can read from particularly the book of Corinthians, that he was well known in a sense that many of the Corinthians looked up to him. Paul stated, and we have read it this morning, that some of them were looking up to Paul. Some of them were looking up to Peter or Cephas. Some of them were looking up to Apollos, and others were looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ as their leaders. And for the fact that Apollos was singled out as one of the leaders, you can sense that he was one of the influential men. Now, Apollos, as we know, he was not one of the of the disciples, the 12 disciples, as we know, just as Apostle Paul was not one of them. But later on, the Holy Spirit added him to take the place of, the disciples had their own choice, but it seems to me, as we read through the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit replaced Judas Iscariot with Apostle Paul as he took the place. He called himself an apostle. Apollos was not one of the named disciples of the Lord or apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the fact that the Corinthians look up to him, you can tell that he was not a small figure. What do we know about Apollos' background? We're going to learn a little bit about him and why it's so important that we are talking about him this morning. When it comes to Apollos, the first time we were introduced to him was what we read in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 said, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." What a description of this young man. What a description. We have a background where he was born. And that's all the scripture told us, that he was born in Alexandria. And Alexandria was in northern Egypt. He was born there, but he was a mighty in the scripture. And when it says a mighty in the scripture, and at the time, the New Testament was not completely written. So he would have been a mighty in the Old Testament scriptures. He was someone who knew the Old Testament back and forth, who knew the law. But also, the scripture tells that he also was taught. He knew also about the baptism of John, or the John's teaching. So we're going to learn a bit more about him. Unlike Apostle Paul, who was saved later on after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least we know something about Apostle Paul, that he was born of Tarsus, of Caesarea, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he was a Pharisee. He was taught by Gamaliel in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. He was persecuted a church. And on his way to persecute the Christians in Damascus, he was saved on that road. And the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned him to preach the gospel, and also laid down before him that he was going to suffer for the cause of Christ, and so on. And of course, he was commissioned by the assembly assembled in Acts chapter 13 with Barnabas to take the gospel to the unknown world as they took their first missionary journey. So we know more about Apostle Paul, but Apollos, all we are told is where he was born, and that he was a mighty in the scripture. But we don't know anything about his background, his parents. Paul, at least we knew that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, and so on. Hebrew of Hebrews, as he said in Philippians chapter 3. But Apollos, all we are told is his background, where he was born in Alexandria, and he was a mighty man in the scriptures. But what we want to draw your attention to this morning was how we met this young man. He came to Ephesus, Norwich, is the Old Testament background, but he uses his knowledge of scripture to teach, and he disputed with people. But then something happened. Verse 25 said, Acts chapter 18, verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and been fervent in the Spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And as he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, They took him aside. They took him aside. Here we are also introduced to a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. We don't know much about them. All we knew about them was that they were tent makers. And so they hooked up with Paul, and they made some tents and sold them. But we also realized that they became a very godly couple that served quietly with Apostle Paul and helped a number of the believers. And here we have them also introduced into Apollos' life. Aquila and Priscilla listen to Apollos. Now you can imagine what they knew. They had been saved and have walked with Apostle Paul for years, walked with him. And so they have been taught the New Testament teachings. They have done their studies and they knew more. But they took time to listen to Apollos, rather, as he preached and disputed with the Jews who were trying to impose the law upon the Ephesians and so on. And so they listened to him very carefully. And they probably might have listened to him for a long time to know where he was coming from and where he was going. And the scriptures said they listened to him carefully. And they took an active interest in Apollos' life. And probably they invited him home quietly and schooled him in the things of the New Testament. And so this couple became influential in Apollos' life. They taught him, they encouraged him, and Apollos became, at the end of the verse 28, it says, he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ when he traveled to Achaia. Because he had now added to his knowledge of the Old Testament the teachings from the New Testament taught by this humble couple. The humble couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And it's very humbling to learn the interaction between Apollos and this couple. Here was a man who we're introducing him as a mighty in the scripture. Now, when you meet someone who is well taught, we don't know who taught Apollos that he rose up to be a mighty in the scripture. We know Paul was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. And so he could, when he was discussing the issue with the Jews, he could point back and say, I'm a Pharisee. You know me. I'm a Pharisee. I've been taught by Gamaliel, and he was one of those very respected. I've seen you meet in Acts chapter 4. He was one of those men who were well respected among the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. And he said, I was taught by him. But we don't know who taught Apollos. But he became a mighty man in scripture, that he knew his scripture very well. But what really got my attention is how this couple were able to bring this man who is well taught, giant in the scripture, bring him down under their wings and teach him what they knew. And yet he also humbled himself to listen. There's something beautiful here that is kind of missing today. It's kind of missing. The couple, Aquila and Priscilla, I would say they were a very discerning couple. They must have been a very discerning couple. To listen to Apollos, speaking, preaching, teaching from what he knew from the Old Testament. And it might not be right, but they listened to him carefully and put up with him. And then they took him under their wings and they taught him the way that he should go. I remember years ago, I had prepared And I was a young man. I was not too long saved, but I was immersing myself in the Word of God. And one day, I got an opportunity to speak at Shaw Acres, and I stood up, and I tried to preach from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. And you know the scripture, right? Your sins, though your sins have been red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. And so to preach the gospel from that God, he does not want us to reason together. And I preached, and I was preaching, I could see some of the, particularly the older people, you know, sometimes nodding their head, or sometimes they look the other way a bit. And at the end of the meeting, I thought I did my homework. A man by the name of David Wilson, probably might remember him, a half-brother of T.N.S. Wilson. He came to me, put his hand around me, and said, "That was very good, Joseph. I'm very impressed, a young man like you. It seems like you did your homework. You did a good, reading. But Joseph, have you ever thought about it, that today God is still reasoning with men today? God is still reasoning with sinners today?" And I said, uh-oh, did I make a boo-boo? He said, "No, Joseph, that was really, you were right on, but God is not reasoning with sinners today. God is not reasoning with sinners today. Israel, as a nation, had a covenant relationship with God. And they went in their own ways. And God, being faithful to his covenant, decided to bring them, it was a way of bringing them back and asking them, what did I do wrong? You are the one who have done all your abuse, your part of the covenant. And God was bringing them back, and he said, let us reason together. Where did I go wrong? Well, you are the one who are astray from me, astray from the covenant. And he said, but this will happen in future. God will bring them back. But today, then he graciously turned to Acts chapter 17. Where you are Acts chapter 18. He turned to Acts chapter 17, and he said, let's read a few verses here. And then he read to me, and particularly in verse 30, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, to the unknown God, where Apostle Paul found himself in Mars Hill. And he looked around and he saw that the whole city was given to idol. And he went on, he even found an altar, verse 23, which was dedicated to a God that they did not even know, to the unknown God. And Paul, from that inscription, he explained the gospel in a simple way to them, took them from what they know to what they don't know. And he brought them to where God what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to them, truly, in these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day, verse 31, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has raised, ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead. And he said, God is today, God is no longer arguing or reasoning with sinners. He had done all that is necessary for sinners to repent. Now he commands all men, boys and girls, everywhere to repent. A Jew, Gentile, no matter what your background, he commands everyone to repent and trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. Because he has appointed a day in which he is going to judge the world, individual, in righteousness. He is no longer dealing with families as he dealt with them in the Old Testament. He is dealing with individuals today. Whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Gentile, whether you are religious, whether you don't think you have religion, it doesn't matter who you are. God commands you to repent. I'm saying, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I felt like he was like an Aquila or Priscilla. Took me aside, and I thank men like Mr. Wilson. He is long gone to be with the Lord. But many like Mr. Wilson took interest in me and helped me, gave me books to read, and encouraged me. When I was go wrong, they would straighten me up in a way. And I still need that. So if I'm after this message, where do you think I go wrong, please feel free to talk to me about it. I'll be listening. I will be listening. But it is very, very important that we have Aquilas and Priscillas in our meetings today, in the assemblies today. They are becoming far and few. In the assemblies, I had the privilege to travel to different assemblies and with the lost people. I can see that we are losing lots of Apollos. Lots of young men who perhaps were fervent in the spirit, learning about the Lord, and they want to go on for the Lord. But we have lost them. You can look at your own meeting here, and this is happening in many, many places, and I'm afraid we are losing a lot of Apollos. Part of it is because perhaps we don't have too many Aquilas and Priscillas who would take look out to see the young man, the young woman who they can take around and encourage. One man particularly at the show, Acres, I was trying to avoid him at times. I was trying to avoid him because almost every week he would give me a book to take home and read. And when I bring the book back, he will ask me, he will quiz me. Then you know that he had read the book himself. He knew it. He would quiz me in different places. I'll try to read as fast as I could. But he would quiz me on what I read. And he would write me notes. I still have some of his notes in my Bible even as I speak to you right now. He is long gone. He was found, gone to be with the Lord in his room. And he found what he was doing. Of course, reading and praying, his book, Bible open. And died in his room. He's gone. But this man, I really, really, really appreciate it. His name is Mr. McNeese. Probably you know him, Dennis. Jim McNeese. He took me and he just wanted to help me to understand different, some of the books he gave me from the, Old Testament to read. I could hardly read it. Victorian English. I'm from Ghana. My accent, you can tell my accent. Then he gave me this book, D and Thou, and I'll struggle with some of them. I have to look in the dictionary to understand the meaning. But I'm thankful that he did that because it has helped me a lot. Books from C.A. McIntosh and others that we just today, you can't even find them in bookstores anymore. Where are the Aquilas and Priscillas today? That is where the challenge is. Many of know young people from our age. I was talking to the pianist this morning, and we're going back to our days. The young people, left young people a group, college and career group that we had in Hopedale, where Heather and I met. And Pam and no more of us, we're in the same group. Sadly, we are on fire for the Lord. Many of us were going on for the Lord, but where are they? Very few are still in the assemblies today. Very few of those, such a large group that we were going on for the Lord one time. Very few of our friends are still we're going on for the Lord. Some of them are lost in a charismatic or places that some of them don't even go on for the Lord. Now we ask ourselves, what went wrong? What went wrong? I'm not pointing a finger at anyone here. We are young people, so we are part of it too. Apollos, when Aquila and Priscilla invited him, they listened to him. And when they decided to take him aside and correct him, so to speak, Apollos had two choices. He could have said, "Don't you know me? Don't you know me? A mighty man in the scriptures. And who are you? Which Bible school did you attend? What is your pedigree? What diploma do you have? What is your title? Now you're going to correct me. You are just a simple tent maker." Apollos could have stood and give it to Aquila and Priscilla. That is also could be an attitude of some of the young people today. They don't want to be humble. They don't want to be taught. I remember one incident. A deacon at Shaw Acres, one time, I listened to once every month, the elders, one of the elders would be on duty for a month, or sometimes a deacon, and he would be giving an announcement or opening before breaking of bread, and after the breaking of bread, we give an announcement and pray for us to have our tea and coffee. And one of the deacons, some of the choice of words that he would use in his prayers and in the way he addressed the Lord, I felt uncomfortable with it. I felt that it was not right, and I thought maybe someone would have corrected him. And it went on for a while, and I prayed about it. So one day, after breaking of bread, he spoke to end the breaking of bread and give an announcement. And reluctantly, I went to him and I said, "Brother, so-and-so, I really appreciate the courage that you have to stand before the congregation to give an announcement and so on. But I'm concerned about this particular statement. I hear you have repeated a few times, and I wonder, have you thought about it? Or is it really scriptural, the way you refer to the Lord? And, is it quite scriptural? I don't think that's what the Bible really said. Maybe you should look at a scripture that you made a reference to." This gentleman, the way he spoke to me, and how he blasted me, I became so little. And I apologized to him. And I apologized to him. I said, "I didn't mean it to hurt, but just that something that I've been praying about it, because I don't think what you said, and you have repeated it several times, I don't think that's what the scripture is saying. So I just want to draw attention to maybe perhaps you haven't looked at it that way. He, you know, who are you?" And the way he gave it to me, I felt so little ever since. And he was a deacon. He was a deacon for some time. Now, that kind of attitude, if Apollos had that kind of attitude, it would have been very difficult for Aquila and Priscilla to teach him the way of the Lord accurately. So it goes both ways. Apollos has to humble himself. He had to come down, even though he was a mighty man in the scripture, he had to come down submit himself and listen to the instruction of the older, the discerning couple who for years been with Apostle Paul. You know, can you imagine working with Apostle Paul? Even the prisoners that were chained with Paul were not saved, in the sense that they hear the gospel, you know, in a jail. And they got saved. You know, Caesar's household, you know, the servants were converted. You can imagine them being working with Apostle Paul, making tents together. They learned a lot. And so they decided to pass their knowledge to instruct this young Apollos. And the result was that he listened. And when the time came, verse 27, it said, "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And he vigorously refuted the Jews who were imposing the law and ceremonies, rituals upon the new believers. He refused them. He refuted them. Showing from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. How would the believers in the brethren in Ephesus would be willing to commend Apollos to Achaia? If Apollos exalted himself and would not listen to Aquilas and Priscilla and he paraded his own ways and he showed a prideful attitude, would the believers there be willing to commend him to the grace of God and write a letter to him to take to the brethren in Achaia to receive him? That is one thing. So both ways, we need to work these things out in our assemblies. The older generation need to be discerning, to look into the meetings to see the young people who could be used for the Lord. Invite them, encourage them, take active interest in them, and help them to stand on their feet. And the younger people also need to humble themselves and be I know these days there's a higher education going on. We know that. Apollos could have a really high education to be able to be a mighty man in Scripture, but he humbled himself. He listened. He subjected himself to the teachings of Aquila and Priscilla, and he became someone that they could commend him to the grace of God. And when he came to to Achaia, he was very, very helpful. And as we read in different places, we read in different places of the scripture that Paul could count on him as a partner in the gospel. We read in the place where in Tertius that he sent, it says, send Zena the lawyer and Aquila and Apollos immediately. Do not hinder them. Just let them come. They are needed right away. Apollos was a mighty man, became a mighty man, all because he humbled himself. He learned under the teachings and instructions of a humble tent maker, a couple, and was mightily used continuously for the Lord. You can look back in your own life, and I'm sure you have someone that you have helped and going on for the Lord, and someone that you have helped that also did not listen and not going on for the Lord. It could happen both ways. But the question is, do you have Apollos that you are working on? Is there an Apollos in your life that you are praying that the Lord will help you to help, to disciple, to encourage? It's not an easy task. It's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done because it has already been done. We have an example here. And as I already alluded to you, I'm very, very thankful for people who take active interest in me. And this also have helped my wife and I to look into in our ministry in Ghana, to look into young men and women, some of them that we the Lord allow us to work with. The ones that listen, they're all going on for the Lord. One of them is right now looking after a Sunday school for us. There's a young man that we have worked with years. And there were two young men. One of them was very smart in the book. Very, very smart. And his name is Prince. And he knew he will recite each time we do Bible memorization, Bible challenge. Prince will be the number one. He will memorize everything, but all became like head knowledge. But there's another young man, Kwesi. They were roommates. Our co-worker, Daniel Webster, had them staying with them. There's a Kwasi, not so smart in the books, but humble. We call him, took him aside, going to hand out gospel tract at Kwasi, and the prince will come. But you can see the two attitude of these two roommates. And go on and on and on over the years, Kwasi is going on wonderfully for the Lord. They had their first child last week Saturday. They had their first child. But Prince, he had all the head knowledge, but no heart belief. Last time I saw him, he came to Kwasi's wedding, and I look at him, I just shook my head. Is it a prince? And there are many like that. We spend, and Heather knows, we spend a lot of hours and sacrificially the Lord through. We are able to invest in many princes and quasis. And we are grateful for the Lord to give us that opportunity. But we quite fear as we come back, or spend 2 years in Ghana, come back and going through different assemblies, we realize that we are losing many Apollos that we could help and encourage to carry on, that we can commend to carry on with the Lord's work. We're losing so many Apollos to denominations because they are not taught. The older generations, I'm afraid, we are losing to teach young men and women the value, the simplicity that is in Christ. I remember years ago at a show, some of the young men that were born and grew up in the assembly. I wasn't born in the assemblies. I didn't grow up in the assembly. I came to know the Lord in 1991 at Erinde Bible Chapel in Mississauga. I had no idea what breaking of bread was all about. The first time I saw breaking of bread, I was wondering, who's organizing it? Who's calling people to rise up from here and there? I had no idea what was happening. But these were ones that were born in the assemblies, we grew up, and I remember one after breaking of bread, we had our coffees and tea, and we're standing outside, and I asked them, so a group of young men in my age, courage and career, and I asked them, so it was a wonderful meeting this morning, how you felt the Spirit of God was leading to worship the Lord, and when, you know what one of them said? That's okay. You call this a worshipful meeting? That's like a funeral service. That was his comment. He called the breaking of bread as what? This was a funeral service. And it wasn't long before they left. And not only that, he left, but he left with a group from Shaw Acres. We go through the norm, we come to, and our children, our grandchildren come to a place like this. We don't explain to them what we're doing. We don't point to the scripture what we're doing. It's just we do it because we know how that's what we do. But we don't explain, we don't be like Aquila and Priscilla to take them and encourage them and show them this is why it's not just a simple, that's how we do it, but this is what the scripture is. Based on the scripture. They don't even know. The friend did not know where the scriptures are. I'm afraid we are losing too many Apollos. And if it continues like this, we will probably, some days, we'll close many assemblies. In Ghana, we will have two assemblies, and that's what the Lord has worked through us in the last several years to establish. There have never been any assemblies as we know in the New Testament teaching. All you get hyper-Christianity. People flooding into churches. They listen to the gospel, but it's a gospel that Christ can save you today, but he can keep you. You get saved today and lose your salvation tomorrow. That is not a Christ. That's not a salvation that we find in the scripture. That's what they're promoting. And we want the people to know in our meetings that this is our theme is know what you believe and why you believe it. Able to make reference to what you believe, what you preach. And so to do all this memorization that we write about, We encourage them to memorize. We're doing it for a purpose, for them to know what you believe and why you believe it. Because the Bible says it and you can point to it. And not what a pastor says. No, not what a pastor says, what makes it different. What the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus Christ says. After all, the pastor did not create me. The Lord created me. And I'm not accountable to the pastor. I'm accountable to the Lord. He's the one going to judge me. And so it's important that I listen to what the Lord says than what the preacher or whoever is saying. Whatever I say to you, it should give you a reference. That is the word of God. And one of the verses that is been dear to my heart is Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. Today, Cambridge University, they have come up with their own translation of the Bible. And you know what they have done? They have eliminated the word sin. Sin is no longer mentioned in the Cambridge New Bible from the Cambridge. And the word black, sin I describe as a black, is no longer there because it's offensive to black people like myself. And the word sin is not mentioned because it's offensive to people. They have done it in such a way that it becomes gender. The Bible is now gender neutral because they don't want to call God as God, as the Father. So they are made in such a way, translated in such a way that it's acceptable to the masses. The Bible doesn't, it should be in a way that it doesn't offend anyone. That's not what we find in the Bible. That's not what we find in the Bible. God is still God. And he's going to judge each one, as we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. It said, God is now commanding everyone, boys and girls, women, everyone, to repent. Because one day he appointed a day that he's going to judge individual in righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has raised him from the dead as an example, as evidence that he's a living and he's going to judge everyone. So it doesn't matter what we do with the Bible we have today, the copies we have, how we can dilute it to suit us, make us happy, not to offend anyone. No. The original is in heaven. It's forever settled in heaven. And he's going to base on the original word of God to judge each one of us. So whatever we're doing to diluted, we're just doing a disservice to ourselves, not to God. But we, as an assembly, we have responsibility to be like Aquila and Priscilla, to help young people, Apollos, young Apollos, to encourage them. Because the world out there has nothing for them. And many of the churches today are nothing more than entertainment centers. I've been to a church where it was like a theater. The preacher standing there entertaining. And they're laughing. They have their coffees. They're sitting in the auditorium with their coffee in their hands. And somebody a cook. And it's just like entertaining. What a waste of time. God means business. He wants people to repent of their sin and have a meaningful relationship with them. And we have a place like this where we can preach the gospel, tell what it is from the word of God without fear. But sadly, the younger generations we're losing them. They don't have any interest. So we all need to prayerfully ask the Lord to help us to be an Aquila and Priscilla, to find Apollos to help them. Thank you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. It is forever settled in heaven. And it will, as it goes forth, it will never return to you in void. We just ask your blessing upon it and upon this assembly, upon the leadership here. We would ask you to give them discernment and to carry on with your message of truth from here. We thank you for our time here this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.